Morning. Scripture of the day is coming from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Good morning, church. Continuing our theme on ambassadors and being Christian ambassadors for Christ, I wanted to just continue to talk on that theme this morning a little bit and how we walk the talk. As Christian ambassadors, obviously we need to make sure that we're representing Christ in everything that we do. And that continuing theme this morning, I don't know if anyone recognized or not, but I just caught it right before I came up here. Song 520 that we'll be singing after the lesson kind of coincides with what John just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, but just an interesting fun fact that I just noticed. But continuing on with that theme, being ambassadors for Christ, I wanted to talk this morning once again about how do we walk the talk. Being an ambassador in the political world, you represent your country in a foreign land. Similarly, as Christian ambassadors, we represent Christ in a sinful world. When you represent someone or some place, you want to make sure that you represent well. Back when I was a teenager in my 20s or so, my mom would send my sister and I to family reunions or to visit a sick family member that was out of town, simply because she was too sick or too ill to make the trip herself. So she would send us to represent the family in Ohio. So when we would attend these particular family reunions, funerals, or just see them in the hospital, we wanted to make sure that we represented well. We wanted to make sure that we represented not only our family from the Ohio side, but also just to represent my mom, right? Because my mom grew up with a lot of these individuals, and I wanted to make sure that we got there on time. I wanted to make sure that we were well-dressed. I wanted to make sure that we interacted with the family member that was there, and just to make sure that they know, hey, my mom is thinking about you. Secondly, if you're representing something, if, say, for example, if you're invited to a watch party, let's just say you're invited to a watch party for the Ohio State-Michigan game. If you're invited to a watch party for the Ohio State-Michigan game, you know if you're going to represent one of your teams, you want to make sure that you show up with all of your Ohio State gear. Notice I said show up with all of your Ohio State gear. Nothing about that Michigan team up north. But you're going to show up and represent your team well. Maybe you have on a jersey for one of your favorite players in the past. Maybe you show up with your face painted. Maybe you show up with one of those nice fancy necklaces made out of Buckeyes. But you want people to know the team that you're representing. The people that are going to be at that party, they don't have to know your name. They don't even have to speak to you, but they know which team that you're pulling for. They know who you're representing in that particular matchup. If we do this and we put on jerseys and we put on Buckeye necklaces and we do our face painting to represent our favorite teams, for people to know which teams that we're rooting for, when we're rooting for Christ, we should go 100 times harder than doing something to that degree. People should know that we're Christians by how we act. They should know that we are Christians on how we demonstrate our faith and how we talk about Christ. Our willingness to spend time with God and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. They should know that we're Christians by our actions and how we treat each other and even those that are not within the household of faith. They should know that we're Christians on how we spend our time, how we prioritize our fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only that, but how we talk about Christ and how we interact with others. How we reference God's word for examples. And lastly, the joy that we get from spending time worshiping our Creator. As ambassadors for Christ, we must show up daily with good intentions as we represent Christ. As ambassadors for Christ, we need to demonstrate our faith. It's not just about getting baptized, attending services, and claiming to be a Christian. We need to demonstrate our faith and our daily actions in making sure that we're walking in faith. In the Bible, a person's walk reflects their behavior or their lifestyle. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, as read in 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. Walking in is the form of a verb, walk, which is used figuratively to mean to live or behave in a specified manner. Our Christian walk refers to following Christ. In our Christian walk, we have the greatest example to follow as one that came before us, our Creator. The Creator himself. You could not ask for a better role model, counselor, coach, mentor, or teacher. As Christians, we have Christ as our example to live by. We have perfection to follow. Even though we're not perfect by any means, we're thankful that he forgives us for when we fall short. As ambassadors for Christ, we need to do the following five things. First, as Christian ambassadors, Christ will lead the way. We need to make sure that we can follow him. In Matthew 16:24, it reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" Meaning one must sacrifice every ounce of self if they want to choose to walk after Christ. Secondly, not only should we follow Christ, but we should also learn from Christ. In Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus is saying to take his yoke and to learn from him in this verse. With the yoke that Christ is offering, we can find rest for our souls. Thirdly, after we follow Christ and after we learn from Christ, we need to make sure that we imitate Christ. In John chapter 13, verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." The point is that those who follow Christ ought to follow his example and imitate his level of humility and service to others. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Anyone claiming to abide in Christ should also walk or live as Jesus lived. Fourthly, we must love as Christ loved. In John 13:34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Jesus was the perfect example of love here on earth. He's given us a commandment to love one another. He didn't suggest or recommend it that we love each other. He said this is a new commandment. Some refer to the Bible as the greatest love story that was ever told. Christ demonstrates his love for us throughout the entire Bible. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, it reads, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." God's word and all the prophecies from God are designed ultimately to motivate and to enforce the love of God for people. Put it another way, God's greatest desire for any human being is that we love God and we love others. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another, as read in John chapter 13, verse 35. Love between fellow Christians, is one of the most powerful signs of one's Christian faith. Number five, we should strive to live as he did, being conformed into his image. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Being an ambassador for Christ, we have to be obedient and we have to be honest. In the world of politics, one would think that honesty would be a poor quality to have as a politician. There are some countries that exist where politicians are elected by the citizens of these countries, and those countries typically promote freedom amongst their people. There are Christians in many countries throughout the world that are oppressed. They're persecuted, they're suffering under governments that are powerless to make change. There are governments that don't agree with their faith, and they try to silence their voices as Christians. These Christians preach the gospel of Jesus at the risk of their own lives. In America, Christians are blessed with the right to speak about and choose leaders freely without fearing for our lives or for our loved ones. The leaders we elect have great influence over all of our freedoms. They can choose to protect our right to worship and spread the gospel, or they can restrict our freedom to spread God's word. They can lead our nation towards righteousness or moral disaster. Christians in politics can affect desperately needed changes throughout our culture. A prime example of this is William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce was a 19th century English politician who campaigned for decades, actually 46 years to be exact. He campaigned to end the abominable slave trade that flourished during that time. His campaign was eventually successful, and he is lauded today for the courage that he endured and his commitment to his Christian principles as being a politician. There's an old saying in politics that politics is a dirty business. Politicians, even those with the best motive, are in danger of being corrupted by a system that primarily deals in power. Whether the role of senator, governor, president, or even ambassador, politicians are courted by those who gain favor in an effort to push their own agenda. Wherever money and power are typically concentrated, greed and covetousness is typically lingering nearby. Perhaps nowhere in life is it more true that the scripture, "bad company corrupts good character," exists in politics, as read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. There are distinct spiritual dangers to associating with those who are out of sync with God. Jesus said that his kingdom is not of this world in John 18, 36. The kingdom of Christ is not connected with earthly politics or with our governments. The world Christians are to be concerned with is the spiritual realm, not the temporal realm here on earth. There's nothing wrong with Christians being involved with politics at all, as long as they simply remember that they are to be ambassadors for Christ first. That is our primary job description as Christian ambassadors. And our goal is to appeal to others to be reconciled to God through Jesus, as read in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Christian politicians must remember that their duty to the Lord must take precedence over all of their duties of their office. But Paul tells us whatever we do, we are to do it for the glory of the Lord and not of our own, as read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Christians should be motivated to bring glory to God in everything that we do, or choose not to do. If Christians seek political office, it should only be if he or she can faithfully execute the duties of office and continue to glorify God without compromising their Christian principles. In order to represent ourselves as Christian ambassadors in this world, to ensure that we represent Christ, we need to make sure that we are walking in the Spirit. Christians have the indwelling Spirit of Christ. The Comforter who proceeds from the Father is read in John 15:26. The Holy Spirit assists us in prayer, as read in Jude chapter 1, verse 20. It intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God, as read in Romans 8:27. The Spirit also leads Christians into righteousness, as read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, and produces the fruit in those yielded from him in Galatians 5:22 through 23. Christians are to submit to the will of God and walk in the Spirit every day. A walk in the Bible, again, is a metaphor for how we practically live our lives on a daily basis. The Christian life is a journey, and we are to walk it. The biblical norm for all Christians is the way is that they walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, as read in Galatians 5:25. In John chapter 3, verse 6, it reads, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." In other words, the Spirit gave us life, and we must continue to live day by day in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit means that we must yield to His control. We have to follow His lead, and we also have to allow Him to have influence over us. In Galatians chapter 5, it examines the word of the Holy Spirit in Christians. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh," is read in Galatians 5, verse 16. As we know, the flesh is weak, and the flesh is in direct conflict with the Spirit, as read in Galatians 5, 17. When the flesh is in charge, the results are clear, as read in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, as it references adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, and selfish ambition and envy. But when the Spirit is in control, He produces good qualities, godly qualities within us. In Galatians 5, 22 through 25, it reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Those that walk in the Spirit are united with him and are bearers of the fruit of the Spirit produces. Thus, those that walk in the Spirit, they walk in love. They live in love for God, and they love their fellow man. Those who walk in the Spirit, they walk in joy. They exhibit gladness in what God has done for them, is continuing to do for them, and what he will do for them. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in peace. Their lives are not defined by worry or anxiety, as read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in patience. They are known for having a long fuse. They're not quick to anger or quick to lose their temper. Those who walk in the Spirit should walk in kindness. They show their tender concern for others' needs. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in goodness. Their actions reflect their virtue and their holiness. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in faithfulness. They are steadfast in their trust of God and His Word. Those who walk in the Spirit also walk in gentleness. Their lives are characterized by humility, grace, and giving thankfulness to God. Those who walk in the Spirit walk in self-control. They display moderation, constraint, and the ability to say no to the flesh. Those who walk in the Spirit rely on the Holy Spirit to guide Christians in thought, word, and in deed, as read in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. Those who walk in the Spirit needs to ensure that we follow the Spirit's lead. They let the word Christ dwell in them richly, as read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Christians that walk in the Spirit allow the Spirit to move them towards being obedient. When we walk in the Spirit, we find that the sinful appetites of the flesh have no dominion over us. In closing, as Christian ambassadors, we need to make sure that we're walking in the Spirit every day. Our walk defines us, and it shows the world who we care about most and what's important to us. We should walk in a manner where people notice our gentleness. They notice the love and the care that we not only have for people, but most importantly, the love that we have for Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and your walk with Christ, or as being a Christian ambassador, has fallen a little short, and maybe you stumbled along the way. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with Christ, and you want to have a better, stronger bond with Christ out in the world. If you want to reestablish that connection, or if you want to pronounce your faith before the church, please come forward at this time as we stand and sing the chosen song of invitation.